Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of John, in the 6th chapter. This is a new series that the Lord's laid on my heart. I've been working on it for some time. And this is about our walk as a Christian. Lord really never makes mistakes. We just fail to realize it sometimes. You know, our plans were to go to Florida and be on the beach, and what's that old saying? We plan and God laughs. So we ended up in the mountains, and what did we end up doing? Hiking, walking, and seeing the magnificence that God has created in our little world. And so Christ has many, 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 many examples of what our life is supposed to look like outside of the realm of our body, outside of the realm of this thing. That this is just my vehicle. Been trying to work on it so I can hike more, and the Lord's been kind, and it's working out. I feel stronger now, able to hike up mountains. And one mountain we were climbing, I said I'd had enough, and Marilyn, she just kept on going like a squirrel. And I said, I'm just going to wait on you here. I was afraid my legs were giving out and I wouldn't be able to make it down. It was literally that steep. And but watching her go and then come back down, you had to be so careful coming down. It was loose gravel, and you had to take baby steps lest you would fall. And I mean, it was literally that steep. It was probably a 35-40% grade. It was that steep. Watching her go on up and then come back down, and then we all took, both of us took these baby steps until we finally got on some ground that was halfway decent, and then you could take some steps, some longer steps. That it reminded me of what God had laid on my heart about this, about walking with Him. Sometimes we need to take baby steps, and sometimes we need to take big steps. But at all times, we need to be careful where we're walking and who we're walking with. And we need to be sure that we're walking in the right way. And Christ says in John chapter 6, verse 63, something that will continue to be part of our lesson here as we discover how to walk with Him and what our life is. Our life, our real life, our true life is actually a spiritual life. Christ says it very plainly here. Verse 663 is one of my favorites. He says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. And then he goes on, this very next sentence, he says, but there are some of you who do not believe. And there are others who would betray Jesus Christ. Many people who say they're Christians, and then they never walk the walk, ever. They come, some of them attend church very regularly, but then they never walk the walk of the Spirit in life. They're overcome by worldly things, by fleshly things, and it happens to all of us. None of us are immune to this. We all have basic needs. We all have things that we think we have to have on a daily basis. Sometimes we just absolutely run out of the worldly things, and then that is when I hear people start to call upon the name of God. When you run out of the worldly stuff in your life, can you imagine how many people were calling upon the name of God as that hurricane approached them? I pray, and it was our prayer. We stood there, the woman's name we prayed with, her name was Barbara. And she absolutely prayed that song we just sang, Holy is Your Name. That was the beginning of her prayer. Your name is exalted above all names. We give you the credit for all things. We thank you for your Holy Spirit in our life. Lift us up. Help us not to worry about this situation. And on as she prayed for us and with us. It was a spiritual moment that I won't forget. But wouldn't it be grand to have such a spiritual moment that kept on going day after day after day? Some people have said if we never had any valleys in our life, we wouldn't enjoy the mountaintops. But you know, there comes a time when I'd rather walk in the mountaintop than in the valley. And if you're in the valley, you know the 23rd Psalm, don't you? And lo, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what's it say? I will what? I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Okay. Okay. It should be that simple. Okay. Shouldn't it? Honest to goodness, it should be that simple. But we won't let go, will we? Can you let go? Can you let go of the worry for just 5 minutes and let the Spirit move you? Jesus said, He said, the Spirit is life. That's life. That's what you really are. I just spent weeks and weeks and weeks telling us through God's Word what we are supposed to be like and how we're supposed to walk. Now we're going to experience doing that and walking that walk. Walk the walk with Christ. Do it. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. I don't know how far we'll get today, but I think we have weeks to discuss this, if the Lord is willing. Romans chapter 8. Excuse me. There's scripture in the Bible that says that we are supposed to walk by faith and not by sight, right? I'll do this. You all do this. You can't help but do it. How many of you can close your eyes and touch your nose with your index finger? You're going to do it. I know you are. You're going to secretly do it. Some of you are doing it right now. Can you do it? Can you dead center it? No, you have to close your eyes. You can do it, right? I know you're doing it, right? Can you do it? I was playing with my granddaughter at the game the other night. Went to a football game, and we were doing that, and I was doing this, right? Like, what's wrong with you, Peppa? What's wrong? We need to walk by faith. Put your feet to everything you do for Christ Jesus and just step out in faith. It's faith that will carry you through. And Jesus just told us in John 6:63 that our true life, our life really is a spiritual life. And that's the you that's going to last forever in one condition or another. We have two conditions. Saved or condemned. Got it? You with me? Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says this. Ready? It says, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Is this all starting to fit together a little bit? Jesus said that our spirit, in His words are spirit-filled. And they're life-giving. And if you have Jesus in your heart, you're no longer condemned. You're one of the saved ones. Forever. And your spiritual self will live forever. But regardless of whether you're saved or not, your spirit will live forever. And you can either be saved and live and have life abundantly here and beyond, or you can live in fear and worry and disgust here in life, and then you'll continue that same thing in the afterlife if you do not have Jesus. It's that simple. It says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Sin fascinates, and then it assassinates. And it condemns you to death. And we can do something about sin in our life. We can stop doing the things that we should not do and start doing the things that we should. And for any sin that we have in our life, John 1, verse 9 says that if we will confess our sins to Jesus Christ, that He is ready, willing, and able to forgive us. Graciously forgive you. Immediately forgive you. And all it takes is asking Him for forgiveness. And start walking in the light instead of walking in darkness. It's the Christian way. And it's a Spirit-filled life. And sometimes you need to take a break away from all the noise of the world and walk a little bit in that Spirit-filled life. We didn't have phone service for 4 days. Praise God. We tried. Oh, we tried. We stood in every corner of that cabin. And we held phones up. And we almost have a bar. Almost. And then finally we just had to say, had to give in. We just had to realize we didn't have any phone service. But then the owner said, "You can use the landline if you want." Verse 3 in chapter 8, it says, "What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." You and I cannot fulfill the laws of the Old Testament, neither could anyone else. Because we're weak, and we're flesh, and we're born of sin. And Jesus came to say, "I am taking away that through me and through my body and my righteousness. You can overcome and fulfill every law of the Old Testament and be saved and safe and sound and secure in knowing that I have overcome sin and death for you." But it's a spiritual life that you need, not the physical one. Verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. What is it in your life? This is an open question. What is it in your life that's keeping you from having that spiritual experience that Christ is talking about in this love letter to the Romans? What is it in your life that you could get rid of with God's help? And it would turn you into living a more spiritual life. What one, is there one thing or are there many? This is just a rhetorical question for all of us, especially me. just came through a period of experiencing very high spiritual emotions. In fact, arrived here this morning blown up with spiritual feeling. And I would like to keep that every minute and every hour of every day. Someone said, "You look chipper this morning." Well, I am chipper. I might frolic before the day's over. I don't know. You should frolic some in your life. It's an old word. You like that word, Romaine? Can you see? It's the image of frolicking, running through a field of daisies. Isn't that odd? But don't you know that God wants you to frolic? He wants you to overcome the thief by placing your spiritual life on a level above that thief. The thief comes not to give life, but to kill, steal, and destroy your relationship with him and with everybody else, and put you in a bad mood, and end up at the end of the day that nothing went right, nothing's good, it's all bad. I hope to God that tomorrow's better. Christ said, "I've come, and the words that I speak," John 6:63, "the words that I speak are life and spirit, and I've come to give you life, real life, spiritual life, so that you can have it and have it more abundantly." So yes, I think God wants you to frolic and be happy. Okay. Okay. This girl is going to become a preacher. Amen. Here's what happens when our mind gets all messed up and it takes us from walking a spiritual life into walking a dead life. And it's right here in Romans. We'll never get out of this today. I'm sure we won't. It says, "For to be carnally minded..." Now, carnal means... What's carne mean in Spanish? When you Spanish-speaking people... Carne, C-A-R-N-E. Don't you ever go to Taco Bell? It means meat. It means flesh. So a carnal mind is a person who thinks in flesh terms only and not spiritually. Right? You're in the house of worship. You're in the house of the Lord. You need to put your spiritual mind on this morning so you can walk in life and light. Just for a moment, you took the time to come here today, so be spiritual while you're here. And perhaps you take that spiritual experience with you out the door. Man, just before we went on this little trip, we met with a man who had a true need in his life, and his name's Jim Brown. And he's an elderly gentleman. And he had a need to speak to someone, and we went and spoke to him, and he gave his life to the Lord. And I believe he did it absolutely, completely, and fully. Donna Tanthury's brother, your uncle, and I believe he gave his life fully, and his wife prayed the prayer with us. They had a spiritual experience. It was obvious. It was good. It was the kind of thing that you want for all your family, isn't it? To have that spiritual experience, to walk in happiness and light instead of darkness. And here in this chapter in Romans, this is the very power of the flesh over our spirit life. And it doesn't have to be like that. It should be spiritual life having power over the fleshly life, shouldn't it? It says, "For the carnally minded is death, but to the spiritually minded is life and" what? "Amen, brother and sisters." Verse 6, the flesh mind is death, but to the spiritually minded, it is life and peace. Praise God for that. Maybe one of you will leave here today and something will happen and it'll be a bad day, but hopefully you can remember the spiritual guidance here in Romans chapter 8 that tells you it doesn't have to be the end of the world, does it? Next week, I'm going to try to show you a picture. And you'll really get this, but I'm going to try to paint a picture with my mouth this morning so you get it kind of. Spruce Knob is the highest point in West Virginia. Everybody know that? If you didn't, you know it now. Been there, done that. It's a beautiful place. But it is absolutely 18 miles in from any direction you want to go in with no phone, no electric, no nothing. You have to drive it to get there or hike in. It's actually 12 miles from the main road one way and 18 miles another way. But suffice it to say, it's way back in the boonies. And there's a bunch of S-turns in there. I mean, really hard S-turns and a bunch of horseshoe turns getting to it. They had to do that because you can't go straight up the mountain. Now, well, my wife could, but you can't drive it like that. So it's a bunch of turns like this and a bunch of... And so we had been there once, and we decided we'd go back and see Spruce Knob Lake. I wanted to take her to all the places I'd been when I was a boy. And so we were on our way back in there again, 17 miles back. Spruce Knob Lake is further than Spruce Knob. So we're on our way to the lake, and we are 17 miles back in from nothing. No one, no phone, no electric, no nothing. And you know how when you see something and it doesn't make any sense at all? You ever had that happen? When you pop around the corner and there's something there and it doesn't make any sense. Right? Here we are in the middle of nowhere. And we round this corner. And there is a 55-passenger tour bus hung up in an S-turn. His front bumper's on the hill over here, and his back bumper's on the S-turn, and they're stuck, and the wheels are off the ground, and that's it. And I walked over to that driver. I said, I shouldn't have said this. It's stupid. I said, how's it going? He said, it's a bad day. It's a bad day. No. But you know, he was pretty calm. But there had been... Who dispatched these people back in there? I'm praying for them right now. Should never have been in there to begin with. But one bus had, there'd been two of them. And one bus had gone wide enough and actually got around the turn. But there were two 55-passenger buses loaded with school children at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Yes. Who said that? Oh, I did not recognize your voice. They were full of little kids. But the one bus had taken the other kids and gone. And I tried to help him for a moment. That was just not going to work. So we had a four-wheel drive, and we went over the hill and went. But before we went, I said, do you want me to see if I can find the other bus? He said, yes. He said, I think he'll probably call help for me, but I'm not sure. And he was serious. I never did see the other bus. I guess it got out of there. That's a bad day, right? But unless he's still there, it's not the end of the world. He was from Baltimore. And he probably did think he was at the end of the world. And he was never going to get out of there. And sometimes we get in those situations and we're just caught. You know, we get in a situation and it doesn't make any sense. How did we get here, right? How did this happen in our life? What in the world is this doing staring me in the face in my life? And there's a way out. And you don't need a cell phone. And you don't need electricity. You need Jesus Christ in your life. You can walk out of any situation fully forgiven, completely free from condemnation, by walking alongside Jesus Christ. In fact, it takes following His Word, because He said, "The words that I speak are life." The Word is Spirit, and the Spirit that you have available to you is life. It's God's Holy Spirit, and He can help you any way, any day, out of any situation. And we need to be celebrating that. I didn't ask you guys to come here this morning to let you leave downhearted and thinking it's the end. I hopefully came here today to tell you that it's not the end, that it could be a new beginning in every one of our lives. And that worry can be put on a shelf, and God will help you through it. And that sign that we saw says, "Why pray when you can worry?" Of course, is exactly the opposite meaning of what they were trying to get across. We need to pray instead of worry. And we need to worry less and worship more. And it'll take you on the right road out of any situation that you've ever, ever been involved in. I want to share one last thing with you this morning in God's Word. While we're here in the book of Romans, and it's in verse 9 in chapter 8. "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, 'Father God, help us.'" The most important confession I have to you this morning is found in these last two verses, 16 and 17. You need to understand who God's Holy Spirit is in order to draw on the power that God has invested in you. You have power that you're not using. We have been given power by our adoption in Jesus Christ. If you are His, I just read all that. I'm not going to go through every one of those scriptures. I read all of that so that you can see it for yourself, that if you have the Spirit, you have life. You have it. It's been given to you. And you have power. All of us have power. And if you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're one of the people that you want to but you've never done it, you need to experience doing it. If you're sitting in your seat and saying, you know, I wish I could do that, you will never experience God unless you stand up for Him and say, Lord, I want to experience You. You have got to do it. It is freeing. It is like taking chains off to finally say, I believe. Right, Penny? Take those chains off of your life. Get free so you can walk. I purposely loaded my backpack so it would have weight in there so that when I take it off, I feel lighter. Right, Jeff? Do it on purpose. Just practice so I can hike later with Jeff, hopefully. When you load yourself up and admit who Christ is in your life, if you will just do that openly, and I mean openly, it's like taking that old pack off and laying it down. You'll get a new spring in your step. You'll get refreshed. You'll say, my goodness, I didn't know it could feel like this. Lighten the load. It's a burden you shouldn't carry. I told you I was going to tell you about the Spirit of Christ. And I am, and it's right here. So that there's no mistake, so that you don't have to think that you have to do something weird to be saved. Some denominations teach that if you do not speak in tongues, then you cannot be saved. Well, it's true. Look it up. It's a requirement in some denominations that after you've said that you want to become a member, then in order for you to actually become a member of their organization, and I'm not going to call it a church, I'll call it a cult. If you want to become a member of their cult, you have to experience speaking in tongues, and many people, I'm just going to go ahead out on a limb, you can sell it all for me, 100% of the people that are doing that are doing it because of pressure. There's no need for me to be speaking in a tongue other than the one I'm speaking in today. Because everyone here, I think, some Sundays I wonder if anybody speaks English. But today you seem to be getting understanding. The Spirit of the living God does not require you to stand up and babble and to make a fool out of yourself and to drive other people away. The Spirit of the living God speaks only of Jesus Christ Himself. The Spirit of God is not puffed up. He is everything that we are supposed to be. He's not puffed up. He is humble. He is absolutely loving and caring and forgiving. And convicts us of sin. He's a reminder to us in our life to do the right thing and to walk with God and not walk with the carnal flesh. Young people, you need to understand, don't ever let anyone, and older people too, it doesn't matter what age you are, don't let anyone tell you that you need to be speaking in tongues or hitting people on the head and having them fall over and catch them in church. That is absolutely 1,000% against God's Word. And here it is. Verse 16. The Spirit Himself, capital H, the person of God. There's three persons of God, right? Are you with me? God the Father, right? God the Father. The omniscient, the omnipresent. This person that we can't get our minds wrapped around, He's so big. God the Father, God the Son, we call Him Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. Right here it is in Romans, and Paul's writing it so that there's no misunderstanding. He says, the Spirit Himself, capital H, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we are children, then we are heirs of God and joint heirs with who? Christ Jesus. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. And that means, and this is it, never being ashamed about your walk with Jesus Christ. We're going to talk more about that next week. This Holy Spirit of God will convict you to stand up wherever you are and testify that you are a lover of God, if you will let Him. Sometimes it gnaws at people and they will not answer the call. Today you need to answer the call so that you can walk in life and liberty and peace. And get rid of that darn worry in your life. It's not profitable. It's killing. That we just read here that it will assassinate you. It will kill you. The body's going to die someday. Don't let your spirit die a second death. This is a beautiful word. This is a promise to you. It says that if indeed we suffer with Him, and that means admitting who He is, if we suffer with Him, we will also be glorified together. Man, what a promise. I don't deserve to be glorified ever, but my Bible says that if we will suffer with Christ here on this earth, tell the story, walk the walk. How we started today was many people go to church all their lives, and they never walk in the Spirit. They never allow the Spirit to take over. And some people pretend that the Spirit takes over, and they go through all these gyrations and babbling and carrying on. It just makes me sick, and it drives people away. It drives a wedge between God and what He's trying to do through His Holy Spirit and the world. Because the world says, you know what? That's crazy. And I could get into the Scripture this morning and prove to you that my Bible even says that that's crazy. In fact, to paraphrase it, it says that if somebody visits this church and they come in and we're swinging from these chandeliers, that's how it works out when you translate that. It says if somebody visits this church and they come in and we're walking on the back of the pews and handling snakes and swinging from the chandeliers and slapping people in the head, they'll go, they're crazy. And they might stay for the show, but they won't be back. The Holy Spirit of God speaks of life and Jesus Christ. And to tell you that you're safe and secure from everything. That you are heirs with God and that your life and your soul is protected. The Hannahs of the world need to know this. Your boys need to know this. Your sons, your daughters, your aunts, your uncles, your brothers and your sisters need to know that if you accept Jesus Christ and if you will walk with Him, there's a difference between saying, I believe, and walking. Are you going to walk the Christian life, or are you just going to sign up to join the club? Choose life and choose to have it more abundantly in Jesus' name.